Shall I read from the book of Psalms, please? Psalm number 39. Psalm number 39. I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best estate is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions, and make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand, when thou with rebukes dost correct a man for iniquity. Dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength, before I go hence, and be no more. We read just a little. The next Psalm, Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. I think that will be enough for our reading. I just want to pass on a very simple meditation upon a subject that is raised towards the end of this rather strange and apparently mournful psalm that we have read tonight, Psalm number 39. Just before we come to my immediate subject, it mightn't do any harm just to make a brief remark or two about some of these books of the Bible. We all know that the scriptures are comprehensive, and every type of literature is to be found within the confines of Holy Scripture. We find narrative, and you'll get prophecy, and you'll get history, and you'll find a certain amount of romance, and there'll be war scenes. Every type of literature can be found in the Holy Scripture. Just in the center of our Bible, you know that there is a collection of books that are poetical, and there's something special about poetry, even English poetry, and certainly something very special about Bible poetry. Right throughout parts of the Old Testament, we have different portions of poetical material. But in these five books, Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, they are grouped together here, and they form the major poetical part of the scriptures. The book of Job is a book of loss. Your heart almost trembles when you read about the losses that man sustained. And in that book, I learn how to cope with some of the losses of life. The book of Psalms is a book of longings. We read in this book about the longing soul. And you listen to the heartbeat of the saints of a previous dispensation. And you listen to the aspirations that arise heavenward. The book of Proverbs is a book of learning. If I want to learn heaven's wisdom for the ordinary affairs of life, I come, of course, to the Proverbs of Solomon. The book of Ecclesiastes is a book of labor. The labor of man under the sun. And the constant cycle of that book becomes very toilsome to read even, because it is a book that deals with the drudgery and the futility of human labour. And of course, the Song of Solomon is a book of love. And when we have arrived at that book, and we have felt the loss, and we have expressed the longings, and when we have learned the lessons, and endured the labour, we arrive at the ultimate, where love divine can satisfy every heart. There's something about poetry that's not like ordinary writing, like prose. It's like a window into a person's soul. There's something more musical about it. And I think we've all appreciated that, just as we have read something of these precious books. You listen to people in different moods. When the music of poetry is coming out, sometimes it's a high note, and sometimes it's a low note. And every key in between is touched, sooner or later. And it's important just to appreciate the type of language that is being used in these books, because that gives us a key to understanding some of their lessons. We need these. The sorrows of Job, the supplications of Psalms, the sayings of Proverbs, the sighs of Ecclesiastes, and the song of Canticles, we need all of those, because they make their contribution to life as it really is. The psalm that we have read tonight is one of those psalms of David that takes quite a mournful atmosphere. And what I really want to try and speak about is the expression in the very concluding verse of the psalm where he prays, "O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more." Now, I'm not altogether happy that that's just an accurate translation of that text. Some time ago, I came across a reading of it that I very much liked, and it has stayed with me and helped me in a good number of circumstances. And I just want to leave it with you as a very simple meditation in tonight's meeting. It tells us here, "O spare me, that I may recover strength." The translation that I was reading had it something like this: "O spare me, that I may smile again." That I may smile again. If you read the Revised Version, it'll say in the margin, "Brighten up." Mr. Garvey in his footnote will say the same. "O spare me, that I may brighten up." Well, that's all right. That's good enough. The word has to do with something like gleaming. But I'm going to fall back in the other one, where the psalmist cries to the Lord and he wants to smile again. And what I want to try and speak about just quite briefly tonight in the meeting is the recovery of a lost smile. I would think you know that there are likely people in the meeting tonight and you have lost your smile. You need to get it back again. You've lost the shine, the laugh, and the luster of life have been crushed by some circumstance. This man found himself in pressing circumstances of life that crushed some of the joy out of his life. And as he cries to God, he says, "I would love to get the smile back again. I would love to see the sky beginning to clear. I would love to have the clouded furrow of my brow. I would love to see my countenance brighten up again. Spare me that I may brighten up. Spare me that I may smile again." Before we come to this subject, of course, the immediate one of the psalm, speaking to people that have lost the smile, there are one or two other things that I would want to say. It won't be relevant to everybody in the meeting. I know that. I think it was announced maybe as young people's problems, and there are a great number of younger folk here. And I'm sorry that quite a lot of what I say might not be particularly relevant, and I apologize for your disappointment. But first of all, I want to think about people that are always smiling. You know, there is a class of person, and they hardly ever seem to get down to the real serious side of life. They're always concerned about
the picnic and the pantomime, and the joke and the giggle.
Now, I would say, there may be some here, and you're just like that. I would say to you, we don't want you to lose a smile, but it would be a great thing if you could get down to see that life is very, very serious. Don't spend your whole time laughing and giggling and just on that kind of a life thing. There are people just live with that almost in the atmosphere of levity, and their feet never seem to really get down to the ground level of reality. Now, we'll not be speaking to that kind of person tonight in the meeting. The people who are always smiling and always see the light side of things, and there's a great deal of levity in our society, and of course the Bible would be very much against that. And then of course you've got the other extreme, the people who never smile. And I don't know, I can't talk to them. I think we just need to pray for them. The people who never smile, you know, there are folks, and you meet them and you think that every day was a bereavement. And every time they open their mouth, it's nothing but a tale of woe. Now I hope there's really no one like that in the meeting. You know, they tell me that when you laugh, take a good hearty laugh, there are 250 muscles in your face that are employed. I think there are folks who haven't used 200 of those muscles for years. They tell me that if you couldn't laugh, you would crack up. You say, well, you'll not get a verse of that in the Bible. I don't know. I think it's true. If I couldn't smile at things, you know, I'd be finished. I heard of a lady, I read an article, in fact, not so long ago, she was in the supermarket, and just behind her in the queue, there was an older gentleman, very thin and gaunt looking, and he just looked as if he'd been up out of an operation. And she was so concerned that she couldn't just go on without saying something to him. And she turned round and in all sincerity, she said to him, excuse me, sir, are you okay? She said, you don't look very well. Or she said, maybe you're a preacher. You see, they think when you get here that you lose the smile. If God takes the smile out of my life, I really think that any use, little bit of use there might be in my preaching is gone for good. Some people think that Christianity is living with a big, long, somber face. You know, there's nothing further from the truth of the Bible. Now, it's not the people who always smile. And it's not the people who never smile. They'll need the therapy of a different kind. We're just talking tonight a little word to the people who might have lost their smile. They can remember days that were happier. They can remember days that were brighter. They can remember days when things were a little easier. But now all that has changed. And maybe there are some in this meeting tonight, and you would need to pray as this man did. Oh Lord, help me that I may smile again. It's a lovely thing to see a person that has a good smile. And something of the joy of Christianity in their very souls is a good advertisement for God's eternal salvation. Of course, I'm also aware that there just might be a situation where somebody still has the smile on their face, but they have lost the smile in their heart. That's very difficult. I reckon at times that we meet people and they still have a bright countenance, but inside things are gone. And there's not the joy. It's not just the external thing that this man was speaking about. It was something far deeper and far more real. Now what makes people lose the smile? Christians. People that know God. After all, when everything is said and done, we should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. We taste of joys that the angels never knew, and they never will know. The joy of redemption by the precious blood of Christ, and the joy of the forgiveness of sin. There never was an angel sang about either of those things. We taste of heavenly and eternal joys, and we should be the happiest people outside of heaven. But why is it that sometimes Christians can lose their joy?
Why did this man lose it? Well, the first thing was sin. He had to pray in the psalm. In one of these verses in the middle, it says, deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the fool. You know, there's nothing will spoil joy in a Christian's life like dabbling in sin. Deliver me from my transgression. I know that we can hardly think of it, but the man that penned some of those most beautiful psalms, he also wrote psalms that were full of sighs and sobs and sorrow. I don't think he sang much after he had sinned, his secret sin. He even tells us in another passage that his very moisture was turned into the drought of summer. And there were sobs that were wrung from the soul of this once happy man. And he likely never thought his heart could break so much. Deliver me from my transgressions and from the reproach of the foolish. The people talked about him, and unfortunately they're talking about him still. I would say just, and I need to remember it just as much as anyone in the meeting, always be very careful about dabbling in sin. It will bring sorrow. It will take away the smile. It will rob the Christian of the joy. When he wrote another one of these psalms, a page or two over, he had to cry out from a broken heart, and as he made his petitions, he came down to this one. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Maybe there's someone here, and salvation's not as big a thing in your heart as once it was. This might touch some who are younger. Any of the younger folks here dabbling in secret sin? Trifling with something behind the scenes? Anyone here, and you're covering up just the same way as this man did? It robbed him of his smile. And I need to watch them, because it will have that very same effect. Spare me, that I may smile again. There was a second feature that's mentioned in the psalm. Indeed, the verses begin with that. He tells us about a time that he was musing and the fire burned. Now, I know that sometimes I've heard good brethren, well-meaning brethren, tell us that that was some night King David was sitting at the fire and he was reading some of the books of Moses, and as he was sitting at the fire on a winter's night, it warmed his heart, and when he was musing, the fire burned. Well, that's all right. You can have that as a little meditation if you like, but that's not anything to do with what's in the passage. This is a man about to blow his top. You forgive me for that expression, but it's the nearest that I can find. He had problems, and he wouldn't talk about them. I don't think it was just the problem that I had mentioned. There were other problems, and he said, I began to think. And he said, when I began to think, he said, my whole inside began to go on fire. And it just became like a volcano. He didn't talk to anybody. He said, I made a resolution that I wouldn't speak to anybody. And he said, I made a resolution that I would keep silence. But he said, while I kept silence and while I mused about the problem, he said, the fire burned and the temperature rose and the pressure increased, and I found myself a man under tremendous stress. We have an expression, another expression. You heard about somebody been very hot under the collar. There's an element of anger in this. You know, there's nothing will make a Christian lose his smile like having bottled up stress and trouble.
and the pressure builds.
Now I would say that I'd be very surprised if there aren't Christians somewhere in the media tonight, and you're suffering. They talk about stress-related illnesses. I don't think in the 1920s they heard anything about that.
These are things that have come, and Christians are just crammed full of stress,
and everybody, of course.
But I'm thinking that believers, they can get things bottled up, and people can get under pressure, and they refuse to talk about it.
I'm not saying that you can talk to everybody about your problem. I'll be coming, if you'll just be patient, in a minute or two, to try and mention some of the answers to these difficulties, how to get the smile back again.
But at the minute, I'm just talking about the problem. While I mused, the fire burned, and he said, my sorrow was stirred, or his inward agony was stirred. The whole thing was stirring within his heart, and he just wanted to burst, and the longer he carried it, the temperature arose.
The man was miserable. Would there be a believer here tonight? And that's your situation? I don't know what the cause of the stress might be. That's not just the point in question. But maybe you have lost your smile. Because you have allowed yourself to get involved in some kind of stressful situation. Maybe it's a grudge against somebody. You know, I've known people to lose their joy because they were embittered against somebody else. And they thought of it. And then they thought about it tomorrow. And they thought more about it on Monday. And they thought about it on Tuesday. And the thing was burning and burning within them. And the volcano was becoming greater. And well, that'll just burst someday or other. That's the problem with this man. And he said, I was dumb. And I kept silent. But he said, the thing was just growing and developing within me out of proportion. Stress. Sin. Can make a Christian lose his smile. And that internal stress. You know, there are people, and if they're in problems, they talk about it. And they get rid of a good deal of stress. But there are other people who can't talk. Now, you might be in that category tonight. Just somewhere in the hall, I don't know. Maybe you can't talk about it to anyone, and you're just carrying it with you every day, and you're choking on it. And you fit exactly into this situation. If that situation is not remedied, remember, if you haven't already, you will lose your smile. And you'll lose the luster. And you'll lose the shine. And you'll lose the brightness. And you'll just become a dull, depressed, and morbid Christian. I look at the remedy, maybe just in a minute. Another matter that he mentions in this psalm that would cause many people to lose a smile. He tells us in verse number 6, every man walketh in a vain show. They are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. Now, what he's really doing in that verse, he's drawing a picture of the contemporary world in which he lived. And he takes a look around, and he says, everybody's just in a vain show. Just trying to put on a big show. And he says they're disquieted in vain. I like that word disquieted, you know. It just, to me, summarizes society as it really is. Everybody going about in a buzz. Everybody getting excited. Everybody getting disturbed. They are disquieted in vain. And then he said, thirdly, they are heaping up riches. So they want a big show. Good fancy lifestyle. They never rest. They never relax. He said, they are disquieted in vain. And he said, the main thing that they think about is heaping up riches. And I think that was becoming a little bit of vexation to this man. Now it could be that part of his problem was that he was vexed at the success of maybe wicked people, but the success of other people. Now, there's one thing I want to mention just here. A Christian needs to watch that the secular world doesn't take away his smile. You see, we're living in a day when you really have to be successful. Now, you listen. Maybe younger people here might be able to just join in at this point again. If you're really going to be anything, you have to get great A's. And if you're really going to be anything, you have to get a Class 1 honours degree. And if you're really going to be anything, you have to drive the latest model of the best car. And if you're really going to be anything, you have to have a house that's well carpeted in every room and furnished to the last word. Now, I feel that there are many people who have lost the joy of life because they have joined the rat race to success. Now, some of you young people, you might think if I haven't got the skill just to get all those great A's that he was talking about, I'm no good. You know, don't you think that, because God could use you just as you are. Now, if you get that idea into your mind that I have to, a kind of way, jump upon this conveyor belt that is carrying everyone on to success at considerable speed, and I'm not just fit for it, I tell you, you'll not be on the conveyor belt a year until you lose your smile. Don't! In God's name, don't! Try to keep up a pace that you're not able to move at. Don't worry about keeping up riches. Don't worry about the big vain show. Don't worry about the hubbub and the bustle and the excitement. No. This man said, all those things are going on, and I think he got a little bit vexed about that. You know, it's very easy to get yourself into a bad way internally over somebody else's success. You need to learn, and I need to learn, to let other people succeed. And that's their business. If the Lord blesses them, we can thank the Lord for blessing them. You know, you should never set yourself unrealistic standards. I hadn't time to make any big sermon for this meeting, so I just had to give you whatever I had in my mind. Oh, I'd like to have had something more ordered and so on. I just have to do that and let it go with that, sure. What else can I do? There are times that I try to preach. Every time I would love to have preached better, and there were times that I just didn't have the time to prepare. I just did my very best and had to leave it there. Went home and thought it was only about a 50% effort. Never get carried away with the lust for success, because if you do, vexation of heart will make you lose your smile. I think this man had to watch sin. And he had to watch the build-up of internal feelings, internal stress. All of us know what that is. And he had to watch that kind of jealousy at the secular success around him. And of course, the fourth reason that he mentions here that he lost his smile was, you would nearly gather from the passage from the psalm that he had been smitten down with some sickness. He does tell us here, remove thy stroke. He's had a stroke, God's stroke. I am consumed by the blow of thy hand. When with rebukes thou dost correct a man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Now, there might be a link just here between his sin and his sickness. And I'm not saying for one minute at all that all sickness is related to sin. The Bible, many passages in the Bible, would show otherwise. And just making that disjunction, it's obvious that this man was smitten with some kind of suffering. And his physique just failed away. His beauty faded like a moth. And he says to God, thou hast made my life like a panther. And he began to stir into the grave. And many of the things that he would like to have done,
they are now never going to be done.
And the brevity of life, and the death-threatening nature of his illness,
it seemed to take away the smile from him. You know, there's Christians I feel very sorry for. It may come my way someday, and I'll be the poorest example of all. But you know, at times, there are believers get very heavy news. For most of us that have had a sore little finger or a head cold, we don't know very much about this. But you know, it's not easy to keep your smile with prolonged suffering. Maybe you know that I'll never be better again. The bigger things I hope to do this side of heaven will never be done.
I have to readjust my thinking. I have to make my timetable ready for eternity.
This man, in his distress because of his suffering, he said, "Spare me, Lord, for a little while, that I may smile again." Is there a Christian here tonight and you have got heavy news? You know, it's possible to smile in suffering. I'm amazed. Of recent times, it has amazed me more at how many of God's people are able to rise above their circumstances. You know, that's a great test. They can still smile. If you go to hospital and visit some of those Christians that are suffering, you know, you'll be surprised the way they can smile. And some of the people that I have in mind, they wouldn't complain one tenth of other people that are out and supposed to be well. Now, I hope that this little word will just be a help to someone. It's a very scattered meditation. A Christian can lose a smile because of sin. Because of stress. Bottled up stress. Because of secular success. And because of suffering. Some of the people that I have in mind, they wouldn't complain one tenth of other people that are out and supposed to be well. Now, I hope that this little word will just be a help to someone. It's a very scattered meditation. A Christian can lose a smile because of sin. Because of stress. Bottled up stress. Because of secular success. And because of suffering. Well, how do I keep it? If I have lost it, how do I get it back again? There is one thing that this man does in Psalm number 39. And I think it was a great help to him. Part of the release to his problem, one of the problems that I mentioned, he started to pray. In verse number 3-4, he says, "Lord, make me to know mine end." In verse number 7, he says, "And now, Lord, what shall I wait for?" In verse number 12, he says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." I think that was the answer to his stress. Remember, I was talking earlier, and I didn't want to enlarge upon it. He had these problems, and they were getting him down, and they were choking him, and his temperature, his internal temperature, was rising, and every time they put the little strap on his arm, the reading was sky high. And he said, "My trouble was such that I couldn't speak to anyone about it, and I thought that I was just going to bust." He said, "Then I decided." But I would tell God about it. And he prayed. Three times in the psalm, he prayed. And the frustrated man that we read about, that was all choking at the start of the psalm, when you get to the end of the psalm, he's just as calm as a little child. And he has got rid of a good deal of his frustration. Now, I mightn't have been there too often, but I would say, if there are some of the Christians in the hall tonight, and you're suffering from this internal stress, and you've lost your smile, and you would like to get it back again, you know one of the things that you'll have to do? You'll have to learn to pray. And if you can't tell anyone on earth about the trouble, remember, don't be afraid to tell God everything about it. And let it all
just out of your system. That's what the Apostle Paul talked about, the great, I would say, if you wanted it, the smiling letter of the New Testament. We've been talking about the Epistle to the Philippians. He told the Christians there, he said, don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests, you notice the words, he says, pray about it. And he said, supplicate about it. And he said, make requests about it. And he said, don't let it press in upon you. But he said, let all that out in the presence of God and the peace of God. And that's the secret. Some of you believers at this meeting tonight that have lost your smile because of the pressure. You would like to get the peace. Well, if you want to get rid of pressure and get back to peace, you need to spend time in prayer. That's what the Apostle Paul told the Philippians. That's what this man did in his own personal exercise. He changed his perspective. I mentioned that he was worried about dying and that his life was going to be cut short by this illness, whatever it was. But before the psalm is over, he has changed altogether. And he makes that beautiful statement. He says, Lord, I am a stranger and a sojourner with thee, as all my fathers were. He sees that I'm just here for a little while. I'm just a sojourner. He said, really, the way that I was thinking before this, I was acting as if I wanted to stay. But he said, I've now come to the conclusion that I'll only stay here as long as God wants me. I can't prolong my life. And there's no point fretting about it. I'm a stranger and a sojourner with this perspective. You know, we would need to get our perspective changed as far as life is concerned. And just recognize that every detail of our lives are really kept in the hand of God. And he has made the planning for the diary. And our simple way of peace of mind and spiritual joy is to constantly trust him, a stranger and a sojourner with thee. And that, of course, made the world of difference. He had another thing that helped him. His prayer and his perspective. But he says, what will I wait for? He's going to now be marked by patience. And then he said before here, said it somewhere anyway, that we are living in a very impatient world. We're not being trained well. Everything has to be done quickly. Those photographs that you took today, you can get them developed within an hour. And you've all got your microwave ovens that do your little scones and one thing or another, just in so many seconds. Machinery, just get the thing done quickly. And you know, we have got into the state where even in our lives we expect quick results, but God doesn't work with microwave. And God doesn't work with instamatics. God's a God of slow process. And the man says, in this frustration that I have got in, and this rat race that people are on, this conveyor belt, the treadmill of life, and they're heaping up, and they're all disquieted, and they're all bustling about, and he said, I wonder what it's all for. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll wait upon the Lord. Then the next psalm, he tells us the problem is over. And psalm number 40 is the answer to psalm number 39. I'm not going into that tonight, but you remember what he said at the beginning of psalm number 40. He said, I waited patiently on the Lord. Maybe, I leave this point, but I maybe say for the help of some Christian, maybe you're here and you've lost your smile because things are not working out. There have been some setback in your life. Some stress. Some suffering, some problem, something that you didn't expect, and you think that God should have operated differently and more quickly, and you've got all frustrated. And it has dried up the joy. You know, one of the things that you might need, you just need a little bit more patience. Prayer. That helps. Perspective. Seeing the things of time in the right perspective. P patience. Those things help to bring the smile back again. And the last one that I've mentioned, when he really gets into Psalm number 40, he tells us that the Lord brought me up out of a horrible pit, that passage that we're always preaching about, and he said, he put my feet on the rock and so on, and a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Now, if you have been following him, if I have been making it half clear, in verse number 2 of chapter 39, Psalm 39, he says, I was dumb. I was dumb. And he tells us a few verses down the psalm, I opened not my mouth. And here's a dreary man has lost his mouth, and he won't speak, and he won't smile, and all the joy is gone. He said, I was just dumbstruck and bottled up and full of trouble. Now in Psalm 40, he's singing, and he's smiling. And he says, he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. You know, if you want to be helped, here's a little spiritual medicine. Before you go to work in the morning, take down the hymn book and sing a hymn. Make sure that nobody's just about too close or anything, so that nobody'd get a rude awakening or anything like that. But it will help your soul. If it doesn't help anyone else's ears, it will help your soul. You know, there's nothing keeps a Christian right like praise in his heart to the Lord. A praising Christian will be a prosperous Christian. I was hearing about a brother today. And his wife is very ill, has been for quite a long time. Well, there'll be no betterment. Everyone knows that, and he knows that. And he has had multiple problems in his life. But he told someone just recently, he keeps very cheerful, merely a mystery. He told someone recently that just shortly after he was saved, as a young believer, just received into Assembly Fellowship, there was an older brother came to him. I'm naming him by his name, we'll call him John. He said, John, he said, I want to give you a little secret. He said, you try to have some precious thought concerning the Lord Jesus in your mind for every Sunday morning. I hope most of you know what I'm speaking about. He said, think something about Christ, just a precious, sweet meditation for every Lord's Day. And he told this brother, he said, by the Lord's help, I tried to do that. He said, sometimes I expressed that there was opportunity, at other times I didn't get the opportunity to express it. But he said, I still enjoy it. And I tell you, brother, I reckon that that's the secret of his success now. The sweetness of those thoughts of Christ that were brought into his soul as a young believer have given him a smile in the midst of his wife's most trying illness. How many Christians here tonight have lost the smile? Would we not be honest? Some of us at least. And we are very bad advertisers. Could we not pray? Spare me, O God, that I may smile again. I hope you'll be brighter, at least after this meeting. You know, if you reach the place where you can't smile, may God help you. And if I reach the same place, it's one of the outlets that God has put into human constitution. It's not a sin to laugh. And it's not unspiritual to smile. And I'm not talking about levity. But may God give us something more of heaven's joy and lead us to share the experience of this ancient Sabbath, shall we pray. Our Father, we bow before thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give thanks again for thy word. We thank thee for the diversity of it and the variety of its teachings, sometimes helping us in sorrow and contributing to our joys. And we pray that thou wilt help us to accept even this precious meditation of the psalmist many centuries ago, and that it will be a help to us in our present society and circumstances. We thank thee for every facility that allows us to be here, for health of body, and we thank thee for clarity of mind, And we pray for all thy saints. We think of our brother, Mr. Allen. We commit him to thee. We pray that thou wilt help him to relax in his mind. Give him that ability to rest in his thinking. And grant, Lord, that in the midst of these circumstances, where he will be surrounded by disappointments, that the smile of the Lord will be in his soul. We look to thee for other saints, that thou wilt grant similar blessing. And remember us all as we leave the meeting. We do not know what sorrows will cross our pathway, but we thank thee for the man of sorrows and for the man of everlasting joys. Help us as we part and give thanks for refreshments provided and for every mercy in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen.